I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. This is lesson number 9. We started on the subject of separation. And tonight is lesson number 9. I'll give you the title. It's the separation of good and evil. This will be very, very practical. And it'll be very down to earth and very, very teachy. And I think if you'll listen to me, you know, I'm grateful that, to my knowledge, in our church, nobody's behaving in an evil fashion. Very best time in the world to preach on something like this is when it's not happening. It prepares us then, and it may. And I think part of your goal is that, of course, that you by teaching a truth, it would keep people from misbehaving in regard to that truth. And so, again, the lesson is a separation of good and evil. Now, if you're at 1 Thessalonians, I want you to find verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 15. I'm going to ask you to stand with me while we read the scripture, and I think I'm going to ask you to help me. I realize the humidity is pretty thick right now, and I know you're tired, but I want you to really, really work hard to learn and listen to the lesson tonight. I believe this. I believe what I'm going to teach you. If you ever find yourself behaving evil, I want you to know evil is probably more addicting than alcohol. Evil is probably more addicting than drugs. Evil is probably more addicting than pornography. When they begin behaving evil, if they become evil, it ruins them. Most of them go to their grave evil. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to. I think someone could repent, and I think somebody could get right. But this thing of it becoming evil is such a danger. So I want you to pay real close attention, because tonight we're going to talk about separation regarding good and evil. And then I'm going to talk to you about the process that one goes through to become evil. And separation is the key to not allowing that to happen to you. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse number 15. The Bible says this: "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." And let's pray. Lord, help me tonight. I think our folks are hard workers, and I think they're tired. I think they're weary. The weather a little affects us. But help us to spiritually shake ourselves. Help us not to miss the truth of tonight. How devastating it would be if any of us fell into an evil lifestyle. Holy Spirit of God, control my mind. Help me to help these people who I love. And then, Father, may this someday salvage someone here so they don't destroy their life. Bless us now with thy presence. Protect us from the evil one. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you were listening there, the Bible said there in verse number 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's very interesting. What is that when it says abstain? Well, it says abstain from the appearance. Abstain means keep away from. Move yourself away from it. When it talks about the appearance, it's talking about even the image of evil. Now, notice it did not just say, don't be evil. It said, abstain from even the appearance of evil. And God is saying, well, it's obvious that evil is bad. But he said, I want you to go a step further. I don't want you just not to be evil. I want you to separate yourself from even looking or even appearing to be evil. I don't want you to do evil, says God, but furthermore, I do not want you to associate with it to where you could give the appearance that you're involved in that evil. Now, I'm going to teach a little lesson before I get to the lesson. And most of you at one time or another have heard what I'm about to say. There's a difference in sin and evil. Both are bad. Evil is worse than sin. Sin, let go, let run wild, turns into evil. Sin is what you do that primarily hurts you. Evil is when you start hurting others. Evil, I think maybe in its purest form, evil is actually an intentional plan to hurt someone else. I'll say this again in a moment, but revenge is evil. Somebody says something to you and they hurt you, and then you begin to undermine or you begin to mastermind a plan to hurt them in who knows what way. You're being vengeful, and that is evil. You're out now to hurt someone. Let me give you an example. In Psalm 51, verse number 4, this is an example about David. It says in Psalm 51, 4, this is David speaking, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." Now, David has admitted to sin. The verse goes on. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." So you know, I don't think David was talking about one thing. I think David was talking about two things. David was admitting to a sin, and then David admitted also to some evil behavior, which was a second sin of his. And it says that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David sinned by committing adultery. He became evil, though, when he plotted to kill Uriah. The sin, something that he hurt himself, of course, he hurt Bathsheba. When he plotted, he schemed. If you know the story about what he did to Uriah, I mean, he put together a plan to attack and hurt and virtually have Uriah killed. That's evil. Gossip is a form of evil. Revenge is a form of evil. Now, folks, everybody is a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everyone's a sinner. And I don't think any Christian wants to become evil. We cannot live above sin. Now, we're going to sin, but we can live above evil. God tells us, if you say you don't have sin, the truth is not in you. So we're all going to sin. But nowhere does God say you have to, a part of your carnal nature has to be evil behavior. So, let me say it again. We can't live above sin, but we can live above evil with God's help. Becoming evil, it's something that you can become addicted to. Now, I told you earlier, I think I've watched people that become evil, and they are more addicted to evil behavior than an alcoholic is addicted to alcohol and a drug addict is addicted to their heroin. Becoming evil, I think that it's a process, and usually it's a result of bitterness. But I don't think anybody plans to become evil. I don't think, you know, you watch a cartoon where someone's going, ooh, ha, 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 and he's Mr. Evil. I don't think people plan to become evil. But I do think there is a process through which they allow themselves to go through, and they end up there. Very quickly, if you look in the Bible, and again, this is lesson number 9. It's called the separation of good and evil. Good and evil are, to some degree, if you will, they're opposites. Let me read some scripture to you. Psalm 34:14 says, "Depart from evil and do good." Now, you notice in these passages of scripture, you're going to see the word evil and you're going to see the word good. And God basically is saying to us, these two things are on opposite ends of the behavior spectrum. Again, Psalm 34:14, "Depart from evil and do good." Psalm 37:27 says, "Depart from evil and do good." 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Evil communications corrupt good manners." See, they're different. Amos 5:15 says, "Hate the evil and love the good." Romans 12:9 says, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22 says, hold fast that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. And remember, I taught you earlier, it's talking about the appearance of evil. God is saying, don't be evil, but don't even associate with something that's evil because it'll give the appearance that you're a part of it. See, the comparison is over and over. You remember a week or two ago, I taught a lesson about the separation of light and darkness. The comparison between good and evil it's almost synonymous. It's almost equal here, good and evil, light and darkness. And God tells us to run from this thing called evil. Proverbs 4:27 says, remove thy foot from evil. You say, what's that mean? Well, if Brother Edwards were evil, and I was standing here, and he began to be evil, he tried to launch an attack out, he was out to hurt or destroy someone, watch how I remove my foot from evil. He's evil. I'm walking away. I don't stay and listen to the evil. I walk away. I remove my foot from evil. Thank you, Mr. Evil. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 12:9 says, abhor that which is evil. You say, what does abhor mean? It's almost like the word abomination. It's such thing as a negative superlative. It's an expounding. Abhor means hate it intensely. Proverbs 3:7 says, depart from evil. Proverbs Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Now, I think the Bible teaches us to separate from evil. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Numbers 16:21 says, separate yourselves from among the congregation that I may consume them. There was a part in the story right there in Numbers 16:21, a part of the congregation had become evil. And they were evil toward another part of the congregation. And not only that, they were evil toward Moses. And God said, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume it. What ends up happening is God disciplines a part of the congregation. They're swallowed into the earth. Not because they had sinned, by the way, but because they had become evil. See, we're all sinners. And we're going to sin because we have a sin nature. But we do not have to be evil. Galatians 1:4 says that he might deliver us from this present evil world. God wants to deliver us from evil. He wants us to stay away from evil. Why does God want good and evil to be separate? Why does God want good people to separate from evil? Why is that? So that good people do not become evil. You say, but preacher, I think I'm strong enough that I could be around evil and it wouldn't affect me. That's the exact thing the devil wanted you to think. Because God very clearly says, separate from evil. Why? Because you're not strong enough to be around it without becoming like it. I have to be very careful. I have an element of faith in my life. I also have an element of stupidity in my life. I've been visiting in the hospitals for a long time. There are nurses and doctors present here. I go in the hospitals no matter what people are sick of. I've been in places where it's quarantined and they let me go in. Because I say, I'm the pastor and I need to go in and pray with this person and I'm going to go in here. Do you realize that there is a fine line between faith and stupidity? So far, so good. But if I ever get something stupid, it was because I was stupid enough to go get it. Talking about a disease. Listen, you heard that old verse, the birds of a feather flock together. If you lay down with dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. Or you play with pigs, you're going to get a curl in your tail. The same thing happens when it comes to evil. If you and I get around evil, you say, I'm so strong that I can be around evil and not become evil. That's not true. That's exactly what that evil person said before they became evil. So, I want you to understand the reason why God says separate from evil is because one good person plus one evil person equals two evil people. So he said what you do is you separate. so that you don't end up becoming evil. Now, there is a progression in this thing of becoming evil. And the rest of the lesson is so simple. But listen real carefully. I don't want you to ever become evil. So, I want you to get the idea of separation from evil for your own protection and for the protection of those around you. So let me start. Point number one, you're a sinner. Romans 3:10 says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Everybody is described with that verse. We're all sinners. What is sin? Sin is missing the mark. Sin is stumbling. Sin is falling. But wait a minute. Evil is when someone is out to hurt or to injure someone. Evil is a sin. It's a very on purpose type of a sin. But folks, we're all sinners. But remember, we do not all have to be evil. So my very first point is this. Everyone's a sinner. Number two, what's the next step? Hey, if you were heading toward becoming evil, we're already guilty of the first step. We're all sinners. But it could stop there. Let me take you to the next step of the possibility of you becoming evil. You hang out with evil people. You get around evil people. Listen to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, verse 15, and verse 16. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass it not by it, turn from it, pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. This is talking about someone that's evil. You notice how they're trying to cause other people, they're hurting other people. These are evil people. Notice what God said, avoid it. Don't even pass by it. Turn away from it. Remove thy foot from this evil thing. But we start out as sinners. So we all have the potential of becoming evil. The next thing that happens is we start getting around or hanging around evil people. If you're around them, you'll begin to become like them. You'll become like them. And boy, there's a lot of ways to be around them. I don't think we ought to be around evil physically. I don't think we ought to be around evil on the telephone. I'll tell you what, I think the thing that makes me the maddest about social networking is how evil it can become. Well, it's not evil. The people become evil through social networking. It could become very evil. They attack and launch attacks on people. And boy, like never before. So because they're so interconnected all over the place. Now, if you spend time with people who are critical, you will become critical. If you spend time with people that are gossipy, you will gossip. Folks, and I got to tell you something. If you spend time with someone who's attacking people, trying to hurt people, trying to destroy people, sooner or later, that's what you're going to become like. Some of your greatest weaknesses in your life right now is because you grew up in a home with people that had those weaknesses. You say, that's how I grew up. Yeah, I know. Because you become like those with whom you spend your time. Could I recommend something to you? You better spend more time with God than anybody. If you spend a lot of time with God, guess who you would have the privilege of becoming like? But I have to warn you, we're sinners, so we have the potential of becoming evil. Now, what is the next step to becoming evil? We hang around evil people. Okay? Next, number three. If you hang around evil people, you will hear them speak evil. You'll hear evil. 2 Corinthians 6:8 says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. Here, there is evil report. Evil people speak evil. If you get around evil people, you will hear their evil report. Now, what's happened? Now you have heard an evil report. I want to reject evil reports because I don't want evil to become a part of me. You know, the Bible teaches we are to be friends to the sinner. But you know, the Bible doesn't teach us anywhere that we're to be friends with evil people. I challenge you to study it. If somebody becomes evil, God doesn't say go be their friend. Now, we're friends, we'll help sinners. What's a sinner? That's somebody that fell. That's someone that missed the mark. That's somebody that they did wrong and that they need help. But nowhere does the Bible say you should be friends with evil people. You say, well, evil people are the ones that are out to hurt people. They're out to destroy someone. Matter of fact, they have a plan to assassinate someone's character. And evil people, God says, I don't want you to become like that. So you help the sinner, but evil people, he says, separate from that. Retract from that. And I got to tell you something. I'm going to tell you one of the biggest ploys of an evil person is this. Evil people want you to listen to them so they will compliment their victim before they stab their victim in the back.
Right.
You'll hear an evil person say this a lot. I sure do love Martha Clark, but let me tell you what I don't like about her. So the compliment lures your goodness into their conversation. It puts you at ease because this person likes Martha. They baited you. I don't know, Brother Allen, you might be able to tell me this. In West Virginia, it was illegal to bait for deer. Is it illegal to bait for deer here in North Carolina? I love North Carolina. It's legal to bait. I didn't know that. Wow. But you know what? When you bait a deer, you put the food out that it wants. It comes in to eat. And that deer says, somebody likes me. Somebody likes me. Look at this corn. Look at these apples. Woohoo! I have a friend. And they go over and they begin to eat and then you stab them. That's how evil people lure you in. They compliment the victim, so they put you at ease, then they shoot their arrow of evil and evil words. Okay, so number one, everyone's a sinner. That's us. What will cause us to end up being evil someday? We hang around evil people. Because if you hang around the evil people, number three, you will hear evil. Then what happens? Number four, then you could develop an evil heart. And that's point four. You were with them. Then you started listening to them. Then it started to affect your heart. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 17 says, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil heart. Now, please listen and just require yourself to sit up and listen. I don't remember when I taught a lesson that I wanted you to learn so much. The heart. It's not talking about the organ that's in your chest. It's talking about the seat of your emotions. It's talking about you heard something. Now it's going to begin to affect your emotions. Evil affects your emotions first. You know, the Bible says that you are not even to think any evil. It says, think no evil. Well, thinking's on the inside of you. You say, Pastor, what could be wrong with me thinking evil? Because if you're to thinking evil, the next thing you're going to do is do it. You're too close to it. In other words, you shouldn't, I have to be careful. I said this in a recent sermon. I've had people that have tried to hurt me and tried to destroy me. And I have to be careful because there are times in my brain, Brother Jack, I thought, I know enough about that person. If I wanted to, I could destroy them. And I have to stop myself and say, what are you doing? Don't even entertain becoming evil. Don't even think that way. And brother, I use words. Words are my business. And there have been times I've thought, I'll tell you what I could say about that person. I could go into a very long dissertation and I know how to use words and I got to stop myself and say, what in the world am I doing? I am entertaining. I am thinking. I have let evil begin to creep into my heart, which is the seat of my emotions. I didn't do it. I thought about it. I didn't do it. I let it affect my emotions. And God said, you better be careful that you don't have an evil heart. What's he talking about? Don't you let evil begin to creep into your emotions. See, I think we think way too highly of ourselves. We think that we can hear evil but not be influenced to become evil. God said, I've got the answer for evil. Avoid it. Avoid it. Evil reports make you question other people. It'll make you question their integrity. Then you find yourself constantly suspicious of that person. You then find yourself constantly judgmental of that person. See, if you stay away from evil, if you stay away from evil people, they cannot sow a seed of discord in your heart. Because that seed liable to sprout up and live. And that's not what you want. So, remember this. We're talking about the separation of good and evil. Why does God want us to stay separate from evil? Because, remember, one good person around one evil person equals two evil people. God does not want us to become evil. Now, we all start with point number one. We're all sinners. So we have the potential of becoming evil. And you're going to sin, but you do not have to be evil. You say, where will I make my mistake? You hang around evil people. And then, if you hang around evil people, you will hear their evil words. Then if you hear their evil words, you'll begin to become evil in your heart, in your emotions. You'll let those evil words affect you emotionally. Okay, what's the next step? Well, the next step is this. Then you'll find yourself speaking some of that evil. You'll speak it. 1 Peter 4:4 says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You'll go, you all know the verse, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You let someone, you hung around someone evil, they spoke evil. That evil, it's not necessarily come out of your life, but now it's inside your heart. It's affecting your emotions a little bit. So the next thing is, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. You'll go from feeling it, you'll go from thinking it, to saying it. I think it's in the book of Romans. It says, we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. When people come to criticize unduly, I'll tell them, I really don't want to hear that. You say, why? I don't want someone to sow a seed of doubt in my heart about someone. Now, the next thing after you hear, and it's in your emotions, it's in your thinking, then you'll speak it. Folks, when the Bible says here, in 1 Peter 4:4, it's talking about speaking evil, it's not talking about cussing. It's not talking about cursing. It's saying something where we hurt another. It's a verbal attack. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're around evil people, you hear them talk bad about others. It gets in your heart, and eventually it'll come out of your mouth. Can I tell you something? Here's what we'll say. I'll say, Brother Young, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell anybody. The reason why we feel like we got to say don't tell anybody is because everybody in the human race wants to tell somebody what they know. They want to tell somebody what they heard. Do you know that probably 80% of the people in this life, when you say don't tell anybody, they did. They told somebody. The whole reason you said please don't tell anybody is because you're scared to death of the truth of the fact that they will repeat it. So you got to be careful when you hear something that's evil. You're only going to keep it in you so long, and then you're going to speak it because it's going to come out. So you say, "What's the key? Don't hear it. Amen. Don't hear it." Say, "Did you hear about? No. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't want any part of it. Why?" I'm protecting myself from becoming evil. Okay, let me tell you again. We're all sinners. If we hang out with evil people, we will hear evil. This can develop an evil heart. Then an evil heart leads to evil speaking. Then we end up doing evil deeds. The Bible says in 2 John 11, "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Now we're saying evil, and now we're acting upon it. Actually, there are evil deeds. Not just evil words, now they're evil deeds. Notice this. Listen to what it says. "For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Do you understand that God is saying, you get around somebody that's evil, and if you wish them luck, you are now a partaker of their evil. You know, there are some people that are evil. I'm not going to say, hope things go well for you. God bless you. How could I say God bless you to someone that's up to evil? God said, you say, well, God wants to bless everybody. God's not going to bless evil. God hates evil. So how can he bless what he hates? So here it says, don't even bid them Godspeed. That means don't wish them luck. Okay, so that means you don't agree with the evil person. Now, can I tell you, really, what you got to do is you don't get around it. That's called separation. The whole lesson is in our series on separation. Separating good and evil. That means you don't listen to the evil. You don't bid the Godspeed. You don't be positive with them about it. Because let me tell you, if you're positive with them in regard to their behavior, they consider that justification for the behavior.
Yes, sir.
And it lures you in to becoming a part. Then, so we went from speaking it, now we're doing evil deeds. Next, if you're not careful, evil will become your way of life. You know, there's someone that could commit an act of evil, but you go from one act of evil to two acts of evil. Then you go from two acts of evil to three acts of evil. Now, you want to be careful. If you do one, you're set up for two. Now, we could go from speaking it to doing evil, and then evil could become a way of life. The Bible says in Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way." What's it talking about? It's talking about an evil way of life. Now, you not only committed an act or a deed of evil, but you're now walking down an evil behavior path. It begins to become a way of life for you. See, you used to have small encounters with evil, but now it's a pretty consistent behavior. It's a part of your routine. You know something? And I say to everybody in here, I've watched someone that struggled with one issue. They began to be vengeful out of bitterness about something, and then they behaved evil, and it wasn't long. They weren't just being evil with that one person. Before long, now they found someone else to be evil with, and then someone else to be evil with. They've kind of unleashed an addictive, sinful behavior that the devil runs wild with. So you got to be careful. Evil can become habitual. Most people that start down the evil pathway quickly snowball from one act of evil into a number of acts of being evil. You started out, by the way, you got to be careful. God said, help the sinner. Be careful being around the evil person. I don't want to be spooky. I can get around people who are evil and I cringe. Have you ever been in when I say evil atmosphere, I'm not talking about ghosts and goblins from Hollywood. I'm talking about spiritual, where someone is acting like the devil, and I'm not talking about frothing at the mouth and their eyes rolling back in their head. I'm talking about somebody that is hateful, vengeful, out to destroy, trying to hurt a bunch of people. Have you ever been around that atmosphere? Oh my goodness, is that scary? I hate being in that atmosphere. And we don't want to ever become like that. So be careful. It's real. So I'm a sinner, so it gives me the potential of becoming evil. But I'm going to sin, but I don't have to be evil. But I was hanging around evil people. Hanging around doesn't just mean physically. It means on your phone. It means on your television. It means Facebook. Facebook, I think, can be a great blessing. I think, boy, people can communicate with missionaries and be soul winners. But if your Facebook is out to destroy someone, it's a tool of the devil that can be used tremendously for the devil. So we hang around with evil people. Then we hear the evil. Now our heart is developing. Our emotions are developing into evil. Now we speak what we've heard. Then we're developing into actually doing evil deeds. And then evil becomes our way of life. Next, the next thing is you become evil toward many people. Many people. 2 Kings 17:13 says, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, 'Turn ye from your evil ways.'" Doesn't just say from your evil way. It wasn't just one. It was ways, plural. So soon, you're not hurting just one person in evil, but you're hurting a number of people. Before long, you're in, hey, and here's what happens. An evil person, they're trying to build a workforce. An evil person tries to get a second person involved, so that second person becomes evil. And then they want to get a third person, and they want everybody recruiting for evil. Until you have an army of evil. Look, that's exactly, God wants us to have an army of good. So what would the devil do? He mimics what God does. So the devil wants a bunch of people involved in evil, and God wants a bunch of people involved in good. And so, you know, at one point, if you're not careful, you were being influenced by an evil person. Doesn't take long until you are now the influencer. You are now the one who is evil influencing others. Let me go on. Number 9. Probably at that point right there, you have now become a full-fledged evil person. And an evil person doesn't mean that you have, you know, sharp bone piercing sticking out of your nose and you know, you don't have a tattoo of 666 on your forehead. Could mean that you have a nice suit on and you carry a Bible around. And you use the word Jesus all the time. I've seen evil people like that. But they're destructive toward people. They're out to hurt people. They're out to launch attack on people. So, at that point, you probably become an evil person. And, may I read, 1 Peter 4:15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer." Let me explain. Do you understand the word evildoer is in the same verse in the same list as a murderer? Say, why in the world would God list an evil person in the same list of sinners as a murderer? Because an evil person is out to commit character assassination. They're out to attack and destroy the character of somebody else. They're out to hurt that somebody else or many somebody else's. Remember, you do not have to become evil. Now, you're going to sin, but you don't have to become evil. All you do is simply follow the steps, and they're simple steps about becoming evil. You think in your heart, I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. But you get to spending time around other evil people, and it snowballs. And before long, you're there. You say they tried to hurt me, and that's why I'm out to get them. And most people won't admit it's revenge. They won't admit that. They know better than that. But there's an underlying bitterness that's caused them to attack that individual, and now they've become evil. But you say, but they hurt me. Okay, but the Bible says don't render evil for evil. If somebody hurt you, you're not supposed to hurt back. So if their whole cause is, they hurt me, I therefore have become evil toward them. We teach our kids on the playground, when one brother hits the other brother, and they come running saying, he hit me, we don't say, go blow their head off with a gun. No, you say, if your brother hits you, don't act like that. So, Don't become an evil person. Hey, let me tell you this. I've got two more points and we'll be done. And they're quick. Number 10. Evil in your life becomes worse and worse. It snowballs. If you let yourself get to the point where you're evil, it snowballs on you. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." You see, you start out and you think you're controlling evil. That's the way evil likes it. And evil is taking you over all the time. You said, "I can do heroin. I got this under control." So why all the addiction? That's the way evil is. Once you start down the path to becoming evil, it gets harder and harder to quit. I think evil can be harder to give up than cigarettes or booze or drugs or pornography. And it may be because it is one of the greatest tools of the devil. It may be the worst addiction on earth. I'm not sure. But you will self-destruct if you become evil. There's some of you, you tend toward evil in your behavior. You tend for vengeance. You tend to want to say things to hurt people. You tend to want to assassinate other people's character. Can I warn you? You better get that under control. You better not be listening to others that are critical all the time, because that will become a part of you. There are some of you, if you're not careful, and I don't predict this, and I hope this for no one, but I will tell you this. You control your criticisms all the time and your negatives all the time about people. You control it relatively well. You could become one of the greatest enemies of a church just like that, because you are just all the time feeding the emotional evil monster that has potential within you. You better get it under control. Let me finish by telling you this. I think the Bible teaches us to run from evil. That means run from evil people. Separate. And that's what the whole lesson is. 3 John verse 11 says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil." It says, "And that which is, but that which is good." So there's good and evil. What do they call the people on Facebook that you spend time with? They call them your friends. Is that right? Isn't there something out there in social network where people follow you? They call them. I think you all know what I'm talking about. I don't know all the terminology, but I hear that. I've got this many friends, or if you will, this many followers. Let me warn you. The Bible says here, follow not that which is evil. When you find out someone's out to hurt or destroy, when you find out someone's out to destroy another Christian, the Bible says don't follow it. You shouldn't be their follower. You say, is that talking about a king? Well, maybe it is, but it's talking about anybody, in any way. Psalm 140, verse number 1 says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man." Deliver me. Sounds to me like someone's in captivity. What's happened? Somebody's been running around with evil, and evil has now taken them over and said, "Deliver me. Help me to get away from this. Get me away from this. It's destroying me." Proverbs 2:12 says, "To deliver thee from the way of evil men." I mean, separate. I'll never forget. I was many, many years ago, and I'd say 95% of you would never even have any idea about what I speak. There was a newspaper that was a Christian periodical that I received. Boy, great articles. Articles about soul winning and bus ministry and the Word of God, and it was pure. And all of a sudden, something happened. And the editor, you could tell, he had a total attitude change. His newspaper went from being a newspaper helping the local New Testament church to build bus routes and Sunday school classes and soul winning. He started attacking everybody. Everybody he could find. It's just uncanny. Well, he started with one person. But remember, one led to two led to three. And before long, the periodical had basically become a Christian National Enquirer slandering everybody they could get their hands on. You say, what'd you do? Well, I canceled my subscription. The minute I see it going that direction, I just stop reading it. I'm not commanded, listen very carefully, I'm not commanded to read anything or see anything but my Bible. If it came down to it in life to keep me pure and to keep me right with God, I'd cancel every friend on Facebook. I'd do away with every email. I would stop reading all books, and I would read one book to protect me from becoming evil. Now, some of you, you don't believe that. Because when evil comes your way, you don't have the guts or the courage or the backbone to say, I won't do it. I won't have anything to do with it. It's a good thing. Now, I'm not on Facebook, and you've heard me say this. I think it can be a very good thing. I'm not a good enough Christian to be on Facebook. I don't know that I'd have the courage to say, I don't know how you do it. You push a button to unfriend or defriend or whatever that thing's called. But there'd be people that would be offended with me. Because the moment they tried to pull me into evil with Facebook, I'd push that button that unfriends. So everybody'd be going, well, what's wrong with Owens? Well, Owens don't want to be evil. If I hang around it, I'm going to hear it. And if I hear it, I'm going to say it. If I say it, I'm going to do it. If I do it, I'm going to become it. And I don't want to become it. So I got to stay away from it. So you mean you got to separate from me? You guessed her, Chester. Put that on my list, Brother Sexton. He's been keeping a roll on my little names that I use during preaching, you know, like Bud and Chester and all those Bible saints from the Old Testament. But listen, you need to learn how to control your email. You need to learn how to control your phone. You need to learn how to control your mouth. You don't want to become evil. So if you got to separate, you separate. Proverbs 4, verse 14 through 16 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Avoid it. Pass not in the way of evil men. You know what it's saying? Then say you walk over to him and say, God bless you. God said, don't do that. Avoid it. Hey, now if he's a sinner, I'll go help him. But when that sinner becomes evil, now we got a problem. Did you know this? I don't think you could prove this wrong. The Bible teaches we are to reclaim the sinner. I can't find a place in the Bible where it says go get the evil people and bring them back to the church. I'll pray for an evil person. I'll love an evil person. I won't go out to eat with them. I'm not going to correspond with them. But I'll tell you this, you correspond, they'll take every word you say and plan to use it against you someday. That's the way evil people are. They're always maneuvering. Let me explain. Hey, look, if you're in my church and, boy, you fall and you get into sin, we'll work and work and work to reclaim you. You become evil where you're all about destroying one of the people down at the church or destroying the church or destroying this or destroying that. I'm not going to come beg you to come back and sit in the pews. Say, who's going to help? God will. God will. I'll let God help you. You say, Pastor Owens, this is a very strong stance. It's a biblical stance. I challenge you. Look in the Bible. See. So the lesson is lesson number 9. The subject is separation of good and evil. God wants you and I to separate from evil because He does not want us to become the next evil person. So He says separation is the key to that. So I've given you the process that you go through to end up being the next evil person. You say, how do I, there's a 10-step process. What do I do? Okay, you can't do anything about sin. You're going to commit some of those. But you don't have to be around evil people. Solves the problem. You got to nip it at the bud. All right. Well, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've listened tonight, I've been loud. I've tried to keep your attention. I know you're weary. But if you listen to what I said, it will help you. Somewhere along the way, it could salvage you. Because if you don't want to be evil, you just don't associate with evil people. We'll help sinners all day long. Evil people, God said, step back, pray for them from a distance, and love them from a distance. I believe that God has spoken to our hearts this evening. If you're here, my head is bowed, my eyes are closed. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I'll promise God tonight, I'll do what the Bible says about evil. I'll do it. Now, I want you to think about it before you put your hand up. So you'll either put your hand up and promise God you'll do what God says about evil, or you'll keep your hand down and say, I won't. I won't do what God says. That's up to you. I'm not looking. I don't think anyone should. Who here would say, Pastor, I'm going to make a commitment to God. I'll do my dead level best to do what the Bible says about evil in my life and around me. Would you let God see your hand? Then you put those hands down. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, you say, Pastor, I need to be more careful. I need to be careful what I listen to on the phone. Why I need to be careful about my associations. For some of you, you're messing up at work terribly. You spend all your time with the people that do nothing but criticize and attack. And you're going to become like that if you're not careful. So be cautious. Be cautious. If you need a moment at this altar tonight, it won't take long. We'll have a few prayer requests and we'll be on our way. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. And I will tell you again, if there is evil in you or somewhere in our church, I don't know about it. I don't know of anybody that's launching an attack on anyone, but it's happened before. Certainly it can happen again. Oh, what evil can do. Evil comes along and it can gut a church of its spirit. My, oh my, oh my. Evil and do good, Psalm 34:14. Evil communications corrupt good manners, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Hate the evil and love the good, Amos 5:15. I have one. Romans 12:9. Abhor that which is evil. Abhor. What is that? It's, I mean, hate it. Hate it intensely. It's not talking hate people. It's talking about hating the evil, but to separate from those who would practice evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. What's it talk about? Your behavior. If you really fear God and respect God, you will hate and run from evil. Run from it. Run from it.